Blog Talk Radio.
Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wicked, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in the bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, for the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie and waste for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not. The house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honors himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Glorious and victorious day it is, another day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You tune in unto the Wisdom Alliance Network. Turn over the airways, the byways, and the highways of the Blog Talk Radio Network on this glorious and victorious Sunday that it is, a day that the Lord hath made, December the 18th, 2016, another time, another chance, another opportunity to give God the glory. For we know that he is worthy of all honor. He is worthy of glory, and he is worthy of all praise. And we know, praise his holy name, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Thank God for Jesus today, and thank God for you in listening radio land. So we know that our God, he's an awesome God. Our God is a great God. He rules from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. And there was ever time that the praises need to go up. So the miraculous interventions and the blessings can come down. That time is indeed right now. The very day, the very acceptable year of our Lord. And we praise God for you joining in with us to have church the way that it was meant to be. We're not being hampered. We're not being bothered. We're not being pestered. We're not being ridiculed. We're not being persecuted. We have the freedom of movement in this Wisdom Alliance Network Church. This is a growing movement. Indeed, it is. We featured the from On High broadcast on the Blog Talk Radio Network. We have elevated, amen, to the Wisdom Alliance Network because we are an exchange of various levels of Christian fellowship and belief. We know that God is not a religion. Come on with me this morning, this afternoon, dependent and contingent upon your time areas and your allocations and your locations. God is not a religion. He is not a practice. He is a spirit. And they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is doing something glorious and miraculous at this very hour. He is raising up young men, young women, older men, older women to bring forth his word, to elevate his people to the level to receive the very bountifulness of the kingdom of heaven. Because you know, in this day and time, and I just communicated with a young lady on the social network as it relates to church hurt. So many individuals are being forced out of congregations because why? People want to be caught up in a spirit of tradition. This is a word of knowledge for you this morning. It may not be for you, it may be for someone that you know. Your day and your hour of deliverance has come. They're so caught up in the traditional wave of things. We stand up, we sing a hymn, we say a prayer. You know, we give words of acknowledgement. We sit back down. We go into a message that's been pre-ascribed, written down, scribed down. And then we have another prayer. We take the offering, have another word, then we leave. No, no, no. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. This is the reason why the congregations are not growing. This is the reason why there's no unity in these congregations, because the trueness, the essence of the true church has been forced out, and this buy now and pay later type of practicing, this fake to the flake, pay to play doctrine and salvation is what's going on in these congregations. And let me tell you something, God is not pleased with it. He is not pleased with the way that things are going. Because you know what? When you force out the true prophets, the true prophetesses, when you force out the truth of the gospel, the unadulterated gospel, when you take God out the congregation, you don't have nothing but a meeting place. Oh, do you hear me today? I don't care if I offend some. You need to rise up and be held accountable for your deeds, because these congregations have backslidden, and little do they know that God's wrath, his hand, is set against them. It's time for us to stop playing it, stop faking it, stop playing church and passing the offering pan, and get down to our Father's business. There's souls to be saved down here. There are people who are in physical agony. They have conditions in their bodies that God wants to deliver them from, but he needs us as to be the reciprocal, that's right, the conduit in which the miracles take place. And in so doing, that the miracles of God come into our lives. That's right. And God wants to raise his people to an elevational standard where we receive the prosperity, the very essence, the financial breakthroughs. That's right. He wants us to receive all these things, but traditionalism has sucked the anointing out. Traditionalism has destroyed the very crux of our stature, of our position in this society. And we as true believers, we've got to go back to that old landmark and do business as it was intended to be done, only through the scripture. Because we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. That's why we're not rehearsing for a stage play and putting up a front. We are the real McCoy, and this is what we do, and this is what we're called and summoned to do. Just laid the foundation this morning, reading, and again this afternoon, evening, night, it doesn't matter, because wherever you are, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty there. That was the 12th chapter of the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom that encompasses how one must conduct themselves. If I were to rename the book of Proverbs, I would call it the book of etiquette and sound doctrine. That's right, of good democratic values. Democratic, we think about governance. So democracy is based upon the individual's willingness to succumb to what is required. We're talking about with God's law. We're not so much talking about man's law, because when you do what's required of God's law, you know something? You will automatically be in fine tune for what is required in the land, because the spiritual things lay manifesto to the things that are in the natural. We've got to do that. We've got to stop putting the cart in front of the horse and allow the very horse to be in front of the cart, so that things can become balanced and that God gets the glory for what it is that we do and what it is that we say. That's why, because men are starving. People are leaving the congregations by the drone, from being church hurt, from being lied to, manipulated, monopolized upon, for being mistreated, depleted, and cheated out of the very blessings that God has for them in that place. And let me tell you something. This word, Jesus told his very disciples, he says, you know what, when they became translated as the very messengers of God, he said, if you go into a place and they don't receive you, he said, shake the dust off your feet and use it as a testimony against them. And in doing so, the hand of God, the wrath of God, will be wrought upon the children of disobedience. So sometimes you got to come up from amongst them and be separate. Sometimes you have to remove yourself from these congregations, because if they're not about glorifying God and acknowledging the gifts of God that worketh within you, you can't cast your pearls before the swine or before those who won't recognize that this is God on the move within you to make a change in that place. You can't burn out, because that's what happens. People stay in places until they literally burn out. No, use wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to discern, the ability to act upon that discernment and to do what is balanced before the very witness of God himself. That's right. So that word of encouragement is for you to deliver you this morning so that you can be in that blessed place. Be patient, be still, and know that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we thank and praise God for you on this very Lord's Day. Let us go to the book of Acts, the second chapter. Why the book of Acts? Because this is a book of action. See, the plan was being orchestrated in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The book of Acts is the implementation of that plan to design, that's right, the operatives of the true believers and of the commissioners who were given the call to harvest souls, reap and write for the master's use. And in doing so, the format had to be prepared. That's right, we look at the format as being the Old Testament. Now, understand something. The New Testament didn't come to cancel out the Old Testament. It came to fulfill that which was spoken of by the prophets of old. That's right. So the New Testament became the very elementation, the evidence of the fulfillment. And we see the four Gospels as a preparational stage. That's right, because the format, the script had already been laid out, and the preparational phase in which the actors or the summoners had been called, and we see the implementation taking place in the book of Acts. And I want you to go to the second chapter with me, and we're going to read very slowly. Now, we're going to go step by step so that you get a fullness of understanding about your profession of your faith. We already know that in order to be a part of the invisible church, the spiritual church, because number one, flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because why? That which is born of the flesh is of the flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spiritual. So we must be born again. How do we become born again? Well, in the methodology of spiritual concepts, you're born again, number one, based upon conviction. That's right. Convicted means feeling sorry for the things that you have done because you saw that they did not produce anything good. You're convicted based upon the elementation and level of your conviction. Confession is number two. An honest confession is good for the soul. That means saying unto God through your human consciousness that reaches into the spirit realm that, God, I know that I need you. I need you to redeem me because I can't redeem myself. Confessing your sin before him. Well, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know something, I don't have a sin. The scripture tells us, we say we have no sin, we are liars. And the truth dwelleth not within us. So we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The third elementation of based upon the confession, we repent. That's the third phase, conviction, confession, repentance. That means being sorry and asking God to have mercy upon us. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And upon the repentance, God forgives us. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, he will wash you. He has washed me whiter than snow. Then after that phase has taken place, the metaphor and the actual anomaly of water baptism comes into fruition. Except a man be born again of the water, and be washed clean, and then filled with the Spirit, the unction, Spiritos, the Holy Spirit, he can in no wise inherit and enter into the kingdom of God. Again, we're talking about spirit kingdom. You've got to be born again. And at the water baptism, some say in Jesus' name. Well, he is of the Father. He is his only begotten Son, and he, that's right, is manifold of the Holy Ghost. So in Jesus' name, or in the name of the Father, Son, Holy, it doesn't matter how it's done, it's the fact that it's done, and it has to be done. For after water baptism, you arise to walk in the newness of life. When does the Holy Spirit come? Listen, the Holy Spirit comes the moment that you give up, you give out, he steps in. That's right. And you must walk in the newness of life. That's right. What's the newness of life? The Holy Spirit is that guiding compass that leads you down that path of eternal life. He will lead you and guide you into all manner of truth. We didn't say he'd break your arm or would knock you off balance to make you follow the truth. He will give you the ability to walk in truth. That's right. And this is the Holy Spirit in which we're going to talk about here in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Let's read from the first verse. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that means when it fully arrived, after the hours of the morning, they were all with one accord and in one place. That means they all came together with one purpose in mind. And the we that we speak of are the apostles. That's right. In the eighth verse, in the first chapter of Acts, Jesus, our Messiah, spake and said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. This is the fulfillment of the promise in which was spake unto them, unto the disciples or the apostles. That's right, they were disciples until the Holy Spirit came upon them. And here they were, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, and Judas, the brother of James. These were the men. And we all know what was going to take place after the promise had been spake unto them. But and suddenly, here it is, the second verse. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. That means there was a whirlwind that came from above, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. I mean, it filled the entire room where they were. Some people call it the upper room. Some people said the tarrying room. Some people said the prayer room. We know that it was a room. That's right. The Holy Spirit breathed upon them. That's right. The Spiritos, the essence of God, breathed in upon these men. Third verse. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Cloven tongues. What does that mean? Tongues that were fluent. Blowing tongues. When something is cloven, it's on fire. It's not dead. So when you tell me that you got the Holy Spirit in the place that you go to worship and it's quiet in there and people are caught up in how something sounds by music and how something sounds by vocal impedance, you're not experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes you to another level. It takes you beyond sound. It takes you beyond sight. It takes you beyond the human consciousness and places you in the consciousness of the elementation of heaven and of God and of heavenly things and treasures. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They said, Holy Ghost, filled. When you're filled with something, you're overflowing with it. It's leaking out. You can't contain it. These men became prisoners of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, let's go here. I've heard many people, and I've again, as being an experienced Christian of over 37, going on to 38 years, I've heard people say, you know what? You speak in a tongue that nobody knows what you're saying. No. You're speaking in a language, in a tongue that is diverse from what you normally speak in. But see, a lot of people believe that if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Well, Apostle Paul asked, do all speak in tongues? Do all prophesy? The Holy Spirit, according to the measure of grace that God has imputed within you and upon you, is relevant as to how the Holy Spirit will come through you. Some people cry. Some people laugh. Some people shout with joy. Some people speak with tongues. Some people utter. Some people say nothing, but there is a great transformation that has happened from within. These men had to have a verifiable sign because, number one, listen to me good. They did not have the Bible as we have it, the written text that spoke of these things. So God had to do something mighty and miraculous in a physical way of expression because these provisions were not given at that time. So he used the power of the tongue. Because why? Life and death in the power of the tongue. And there were dwelling of Jerusalem, Jews. That means national Jews. That's right. Not so much Zion Jews, but those who were born in the land of Israel. Devout men, that means intellectual men, out of every nation under heaven. Sixth verse. Now when this was noised abroad, that means when this was heard, the multitude, that means a lot of people came together and were confirmed. That means they were confused. They didn't know what was going on because that every man heard them speak in their own language. Now, I just told you that. They didn't speak in some alien dialect. They spoke in a language outside of what their genre of speaking was. This was the miracle power of God showing his hand, able to do that which is impossible. People were speaking in different dialects of other languages. Let me break it down some more so you know they weren't speaking in an alien tongue. Second verse, and they were amazed and marveled, saying one to the other, behold, are not all these who speak Galileans? Eighth verse, and how hear we every man in our own tongue when we were born? That means how is it that you're speaking in my dialect and you've never been to my country, you're not of my culture, but you are, and this person is speaking of in a dialect that's not his own. That's the miracle working power of a mighty God that created the heaven and the earth. And the eighth verse, how hear we every man speak in our own tongue wherewith we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia, that's Turkey, as you know, and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and in Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya around Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. That settles it. The wonderful works of God. God did this. He said signs and wonders will follow those who believe. These men believed that God were going to visit them because they had a work to do, and God visited them in a great, outstanding, and in a mighty way. That's why they spake in another language that was obtuse from the language they spoke to on a general or colloquial basis. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Well, you know something? They meant, what in the world is going on here? 13th verse, others mocking, saying, these men are full of new wine. That means that everybody in this room is apparently drunk. Is apparently drunk. So you know what happened? Peter, even though he was considered as the rock of the movement of the apostles, he said, you know what? You all don't know what you're talking about. You know what? God has done something great, meticulous, and marvelous, and you know what? You all couldn't even catch the wave. You know why? these men are not drunk as you suppose, but they are drunk with new wine, the new wine of the Spirit. And the Spirit is of the Lord. And because the Spirit is of the Lord, we know that we have been elevated. Even God elevates you. You don't have to explain anything. The signs and wonders follow you. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to ponder about it. You don't have to be in a tizzy. You don't have to get upset when you're challenged or when you're questioned. He just let them know, hey, we're not drunk as you suppose. You might think we've been drinking wine. As he said in the 14th verse, he lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third of the hour of the day. Okay, third hour of the day, what are we looking at? According to that standard time of measurement, the third hour of the day is 12 o'clock. He said, it's not even 12 o'clock. And you're thinking that we've gotten up this morning and began dipping into the wine? No. We're not drunk as ye suppose. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. 17 verse, and it shall come to pass, in the last day, said God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show them wonders. And this is a wonder. The speaking of tongues in this manner was a miraculous wonder to validate God's presence with these men, because there was no written text at that time. He said, and signs and wonders in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be what? Turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. He said, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what is he saying? He said, now God is going to show you the eclipse. He's going to show you the lunar eclipse. He's going to show you the solar eclipse. Haven't we seen those things? So we know that the day of the Lord cometh. That's right. It cometh quickly. He's going to show that there's going to be natural disasters that are going to be evident and apparent within society. And because of it, it is his power. You think of vapor of smoke. You think about volcanoes erupting. Does that not produce the vapor of smoke? You think about the shifting of the paradigms of fire. Look how many forest fires that they have been, wild brush fires that have ignited. No one can explain. Oh, they try to scientifically so explain these things, but there is no explanation for the handwork of God. And he said, you know what? And the sun shall be turned into blood. When you think about the very essence of the solar eclipse, how the moon turns red, turns red. These are the signs and wonders of God. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God amongst you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also have known. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. That means God sent his only begotten Son. He sent his brother the truth to you to redeem you from eternal separation from his presence. You would not accept his presence. You would accept his teaching because his teachings confounded you. It was not scientifically proven. It was not data-driven. You could not be able to relate to his knowledge because his knowledge is superior knowledge. You persecuted him. You tried to to call him a blasphemer, because why? You could find nothing wrong with him, because him being the Son of God and the image of God is and was perfect, and there was no flaws in his character. Whatever you asked him, he would answer that five times over and then question you with your own answers. You couldn't take it because you couldn't make sense out of it. Because why? You couldn't relate to God. And it was just that simple. Whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. That means that God raised him up, because in the beginning of him was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning. That's the reason why God spoke him into existence. God summoned him into existence. Why? Because Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the personage of God. That's right. And he cannot be questioned. He cannot be challenged, because he is supreme. He is sovereign above all that is upon the earth. And it's just that simple. And they couldn't take it because they couldn't relate to it. You see, the knowledge of this world is devilish. And it was essential. And let me tell you something. Essential means appealing to the carnal senses or the carnal appetites. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. All things were made by him, and without him not anything was made. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. Who is that light? Jesus Christ. That's right. The only begotten Son of God. He even said, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. That means he said he saw the personage of Jesus Christ, the very epitome, the very essence of God made manifest, Emmanuel, in the flesh. He said, for he is on my right hand, and I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Why? Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. So here King David is talking about the very essence of knowing who Jesus was long before Jesus became manifested in the flesh. That's right, because why? Don't forget, he's also called the very seed of David. Why? Because David was an anointed and appointed king of Israel. That's right. When Saul failed to deliver what God had required of him, God raised up a shepherd boy and made him a mighty warrior, then exalted and elevated him to being the king of Israel. So when we hear the very lineage of our Messiah coming through as the son of David, the seed of Abraham, son of David, it's all the same thing. He is a recipient of those great and mighty men of God, those men who knew that God was God and a rewarder of those who diligently sought after him. He says here, thou hast made known to me the ways of life that shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. That means with your presence, you have made me glad because you have delivered me, you have kept me, you have brought me out from amongst those things that held me captive indeed. He said, men and brethren, let me freely speak. Now here Peter is getting down to the get down. Peter is anointed and appointed. That's right. He is the chief apostle, the rock. I know many of you say, well, Peter was a liar. Listen, God told us in his word that his grace is sufficient unto us, and his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Don't you know that Jesus Christ, our God, the very essence of God in the flesh, knew that he was going to do that? But nevertheless, because he acknowledged who Jesus Christ was before the other apostles did, the other at that time before the apostles, they were disciples. He knew who they were, who he was in the midst of the circumstance. This is what earned him that posture and position. That's right, with God. And let me tell you something. When you know who Jesus is and you know who God is, that's right, that makes you separate from the rest and better than all the rest. And let me tell you something. No man can put their hand on you. No man can speak against you because you have a special position, a special posture in God. And this is what he has. He said, now, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch, David. That means the fatherhood of David. That he is both dead and buried, and is the potter is with us unto this day. He says, now, even though his body is laid under the corrosiveness of being in the grave, his spirit is yet alive and remains. That's right, with God, and his soul has been reserved into paradise. He said, therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He's saying to him, you know what? Because you have been anointed and appointed as the king of Israel, so shall an even greater king, O David, come through your loins, because you have persevered. See, you have to understand something. David persevered before he became the king. He had to slay the giant. He had to take on being commander of the army. And then after he took on being commander of the army, the very man, King Saul, who appointed him to the position, became so envious of him and his gift, and he knew that he was going to be his replacement, had sought out to kill him. And so what happened was that this man lived as a fugitive, fleeing for his life from place to place because Saul attempted to have him murdered to keep the purpose of God from taking manifold and manifestation on his behalf. So this was a man with a purpose. That's right. Before he took the throne, God humbled him before he took it. He seen that before he spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So no, he didn't rot. He was raised. See, when you are a child of God, you're raised. You will not rot. God will see you through, above, over, and beyond. He will not leave you to the witness of the wicked. He will not leave you at the hands of the unjust, where they can look down upon you and make statements that are totally inversive of who you are in God. That's right. You will outlive all those who persecuted you. You will stand upon those who tried to pull you down. You will reign over those who attempted to degrade you, because God is an awesome God who speaks it and he sees it through. This Jesus has God raised up. Well, we are all witnesses. That means that Jesus, our Lord, God raised him up, in which all of us can give testament to and give testament through that he is with us. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, and you know, he told us when we receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us, he has shed forth this which you now know and hear. For David has not ascended into heaven, but he has said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. That means he reigns over you. He is now the bishop of your soul, whether you like it or you don't. That's right. If you receive it, happy be ye. You shall be saved. If you have rejected, you don't change a thing. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord to the glory of God. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. I love that. I just had to read that again. He is Lord. He said the stone that the very builders rejected had become chief of the corner and is marvelous in our eyes. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked. They were convicted in their hearts, because they knew that it was true, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles. Now, see, after the Holy Spirit came, these men no longer were disciples. They became apostles, the great commissioners, the very handy men of God. He said, men and brethren, what do we do? That means, how are we going to escape the wrath of God? What do we do? Tell us the plan. He said, what? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What he's saying, he said, this is what I told you. Repent. Tell God you're sorry. Acknowledge your sin-sick state, that no doctrine, no traditionalism, no good moral standards, no good living can save you. That's according to the rules of the flesh. And be baptized. Except a man be born again of the water of the Spirit, he can in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, when you get something remitted, pay off. That's right. There has been a definite translation that rolled off a debt. That's your payment for your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It didn't say you had to fight for it. You had to roll on the floor for it. He said, and you shall receive, because you obey God for the confession of your faith, you repented and you were baptized, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's the Great Commission right there. That's the message, the messenger, the altar call, all condensed into one. Save yourselves from this untoward generation, because we are living in a day and time that we as prophets and we as ministers and evangelists and true leaders have to take a stand against those who have sold out to the beast of the new regime, those who are writing scripts, who are making their way through the suffering of others, through traditionalism, through being prejudgmental, through the Pharisee perspective. We have to take a stand and go to the fundamental aspects of the scripture and to teach men the truth about their salvation and about who they are in God and what God has required that will empower them to have victory over the enemy, not on some levels, not on partial levels, but on every level of their life. Because God wants us to be joyful, healthy, happy, and live the fullness of our confession every day, not some days, but every day. And we only fail when we refuse to accept what God has said and we begin to revere to what man has said. That's right. And we need to go back to the fundamental aspects in order to regain control of our lives. Because some of our lives are out of control. The circumstances, situations are out of control because we have failed the very knowledge of God and have refused to repent and to go back to what is the standard requirements of his truth. So here today on the Wisdom Alliance Network, we have just opened up our program. Be sure to listen in next week, same time, same place, same location. You got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, Abby Seltzer, known as the Motor City Maharani, say, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be blessed and have a glorious and victorious and miraculous week. And listen, make sure that you communicate with us by way of the Wisdom Alliance Network. Heard on the blogtalkradio.com station. Have a glorious and victorious week, and we'll see you again real soon. Oh, yeah.